So, welcome, I'm Christophe de Linchin, and today I'm going to talk about Excel and extensible language. So let me start with a problem statement. What kind of problem is Excel trying to solve? Well, we always start with a nice video. So you probably know about Greenspan's 10th rule that everybody, you know, any sufficiently complicated C program or Fortran program contains an ad hoc informally specified bug-ridden, slow implementation of half of Common Lisp. And so it more or less looks like this. Your programs actually look like this. So where does the problem come from? Why do we need so many languages? Well, one thing that is really important to understand is that Moore's Law applies to software, because as your machines grow, so does the software on it. So we have more and more complex levels of abstraction over time, and every few years, we need to invent something new to move ahead. So why does it matter? Because we start with something that is easy. When we invent a new language, we are above the curve. But if the language doesn't change, as time goes by, you fly under the curve. And then tools are outdated, you need more hands, you ship everything to India, and you have cost overrun, your manager is unhappy, and so on. So the idea of Excel is to create a language built to create DSLs so that you can have your on-demand language. It's as easy to add something in the language as adding a function, for instance, in C. And this way, you follow the curve from above. So the proposed solution. Well, I believe in this saying from Saint-Exupéry, which is perfection is achieved not when there is nothing to add, but when there is nothing to remove. So why did I show a mouse? Because mice began with three buttons, then two buttons, then one button, then zero button, then no mouse. Right now, you touch your screen directly, and that's, I think, perfection. So is it minimalist? I leave aside the experimental side, because Excel once stood for experimental language. Now it's extensible language. But that means this question is settled. Well, it's minimalist because there is a single operator in it called is. So one operator to rule them all. The rest is in the library. That means integer arithmetic is in the library. Loops are in the library. If-then-else is in the library. Modules are in the library, and so on. The parser is 2,000 lines of code, which is engineering unit is about one bottle of Coke. A whole interpreter is 20,000 lines of code, which is a little bit more Coke, but not that much. By contrast, that's about the size of the C parser in GCC. And it went through at least 10 total rewrites, which is probably more than the Spider-Man reboots, which I think is a world record in itself. And it now has at least 4 different websites, 2 of which I've lost the admin password for. And more importantly, it has a single user, which I hope to fix at some point. But right now, I can't recommend you use it, because it's still very, very broken. Okay, so the question being minimalist, the answer is extensible. That's the language with one operator, as I said. To define constants, for instance, you write pi is blah, blah, blah. Identity is you write an identity matrix. True is self, so that means basically it doesn't evaluate further. False is self as well. You can define functions. So you have an example for seconds that computes the number of seconds given number of hours, minutes, and seconds. How to add a prefix in front of a string. So zero prefix adds a zero if it's less than 10. And you have a definition of the Fibonacci function at the bottom. You can define operators. Like, for instance, that's the definition of addition in the compiler. X integer plus Y integer, the result is an integer. And the built-in add says that the compiler has a cheat sheet for that. So basically, it can emit code for it directly. And you can then write x not equal to y as not x equal y. And that's something that works with every type or every function. Much like James showed, a lot of this is actually template code if you talk about in C++ terminology. More importantly, you can have multiple operators in one definition, like x plus y times z, which represent the fuse, multiply, add you have in many processors today. And you can have specialized notations, like the factorial definition has 0 factorial is 1, and n factorial is n times n minus 1 factorial. You can define types with it. you can define program constructs. So that's the definition of if then else. That's the definition of the loop, and that's the definition of the while loop. The if then else has this square brackets doubled thing. It's called the meta box. And what this means is basically you evaluate what is inside and you check that this is the value. So it's like you make a constant out of something that is not a constant. Why does it matter here? Because if you just wrote if true, that would make true a parameter, which is not what you want. Notations. So that's my favorite. So that's how you create, you know, your DSL. A in B dot dot C is if A is greater than B and less than C. You can have an every duration do something, and then you can use it as every 1 minute do something. You can have optimizations, like you can write x plus 0 is x, which is forbidden in most languages, like C or C++, for instance, can do that for various reasons, for in various cases. Well, you can do this kind of optimizations, but here you can force it. More interesting is the second one, where you can say, for instance, that sqrt is something that when you work on complex numbers, it's best expressed as taking a polar representation as inputs and a polar representation as outputs. But if you take the exponential, it's better if it takes a Cartesian representation as input and polar as output. So now if you have a complex number representation that has both polar, it's basically polar or Cartesian, and it will switch on the fly as you write an expression during the expression to select the best type. That is cool, I think. When I realized that, I tried to do it in C++. You can, actually, and it's way more complicated. And you can write generics or templates or whatever you want to name them. I like this definition of min. So it says that min of x, y is you compute the mean of... Actually, there is a mistake. It's the mean of y. Oh, no. Yeah, it's the mean of x. So basically, it does an accumulation. It has a parse tree in one of the arguments. So it's a comma-separated list of things. And so it recurses like this and computes the mean every step along the way, and then you can use it. There is a definition of array as well, where array of 1 of t is a type which has a t value in it. And if you index it with 1, it returns value. And array n of t is a type which has as a header array n minus 1 of t, and as a tail t, and then as two cases to see how to index. Of course, this is very efficient, like the while loop I showed you. But the compiler can recognize these patterns and say, OK, from this standard definition, I do something efficient. OK, so there are actually three ideas in the language. Since I've been working for about 25 years on it, that's about one idea every three years or so. So I'm pretty proud of that. So around 2000, the idea, so I started with something that you can still find on the web under mozartdev.sourceforge.net, which had a very complex object representation for your program, and then you could write compiler plugins that would rewrite that stuff. And that was really insanely complex as an API. And then one day I had this idea, oh, I could do a very, very simple parse tree, which has only 8 node types. I'm going to detail that in a few seconds. And then I can represent anything from something that looks like Ada or Python or whatever to something that looks more functional like what I just showed. Around 2008, I realized that I could actually have the language be the rewrite engine. So that's this is operator. And that's all I needed. All the rest was basically fluff around it. Before that, I had a real compiler. And then I decided, oh, no. I can't just do that. And around 2016, I started to understand what the type system should look like. And I'll explain what the problems are. With the idea to be able to generate C-style or C-level machine code. So what is this parse tree? As I said, it has 8 node types. There is the integer. You see there is a notation for base numbers. You can use underscore to separate digits, these kind of things. You can use E notation for integers as long as it's not E minus something, and there is no dot. Real values are the same thing with a dot or a negative value in the exponent. Text values are anything between simple or double quotes. And there is also a notation for multi-line text, which you can customize. So you can basically tell the language, I want some stuff between HTML and HTML to be text. And so you write HTML in your code, have something full of actual HTML and HTML at the end, and you have a text constant. Then infix is A plus B, A and B, that kind of things. Well, the operator is between the operands. Prefix is minus 5 sinus x, so the operator is before the operand. postfix is factorial 3 or 3 kilometers. So the operator is behind the operand. And blocks are parentheses, square brackets, curly brace, indentation blocks, etc. So now the interesting thing is that the semicolon that is used to separate statement is an infix. Another infix is new line. So when you separate two statements by a line, it's basically an infix with one statement on the left, one statement on the right. And when you indent something in your code, it's a block. So it's fairly simple to parse. And that's why the parser is so short. So here's an example where you have the program on the left, and that's what it parses like on the right. So you see the CR, which is this infix operator that splits function. And the first line is an is infix with a postfix on the left, 0 factorial, and on the right, a 1. I hope you follow. And then you have another infix CR, and then you have the second definition and so on. So you get the idea. It's fairly simple. So let me first talk about stuff that works. There are already quite a few things that do work. And so I started with a self-compiling compiler. Basically, at some point, are you asking? No. So I started with a self-compiling compiler around 2003 or something like that, and I think it was finished around 2005. That transpired to C++. The reason is I went to talk with a guy named Alan Kay, the inventor of Smalltalk, and I tried to convince him to take a look at my language, and he said, does it self-compile? I said, no. Okay, come back when it does. Okay. So that's the kind of stuff that it could compile at the time. You can see the type system was quite different at the time, but what this says is that type is an ordered, ordered is a type that is generic type, so it basically can take any type. It can represent any type as long as you have a less than that returns a Boolean. And then you have the max function. So that's more or less similar to the max I was telling you earlier. You see the new one is shorter. And so max of one ordered returns that ordered. Max of one ordered and something else computes the something else first, compares, returns the result. And that's the kind of use that you could find. So I have test cases that show this working in 2001. It started working in C++ 11. So it started becoming mainstream in C++ 11 with Viadic templates. And I'm very proud of this because I was part of the C++ committee in 2001. So I hope this is not coincidence. Okay, so let me do some actual live demos. But actually there is a demo zero. And the demo zero is this. The slides you see are written in Excel. Okay, so let's start with parsing the inputs and rendering with some style. So let me do minus parse and minus show. And I've got plenty of stuff that I don't need because I forgot to put no built-ins to not load the built-ins file. And so that's my so that's basically the file here, and you see that it renders it as it. But to show that it's doing some actual work, I can change style. For instance, I can use this. And now this renders the parse tree. And I can do something like render it colorized. So I can do some stuff like this. So you got the idea here. So this is a recap of what I just showed you. Now there is an interesting one, which is using the tau style is what I used to build the parse tree that I showed you in the other slide earlier. Okay, another interesting thing you can do with that is that you can serialize. I'm sorry?
3 more minutes and then questions.
Yeah, so I can serialize the source code. And I can serialize the context, the variables. The context, the symbol table is actually represented in Excel itself with a balanced tree, so that's interesting. So I can do something like this. I listen to some local port, and then I run my hello, and it runs a hello on the other side. That's the tell localhost sends the program to the other side. So now I can do something more interesting, like I can do a loop. Now this loops is done on the initiator, but I can have a loop on the target. I can tell, please do your loop there. And in that case, I can do something like this. And you can see that it's looping on the target, and I can have multiple of them running at the same time. And so multiple tasks. Of course, there is a self, a built-in limiter on the receiving end that will say, you know, I'll stop after a few tasks. Okay, so last part of the demo is to see, you know, I mentioned that tau is written in Excel. So what is interesting is, for instance, you have this shape statement that says makes the thing that is inside editable. It takes into account all the transformations you have made, but it's a single source code. So what happens if I move that shape? So basically, it's the same source code. So whenever I do a movement on one, it moves on all. OK, so that's for some of the stuff that works. Stuff that doesn't work. LLVM is not a stable API. So in the compiler that was in 2005 was transpiling to C or Java with files that looked like that. And then I shifted to LLVM around version 2.6. And every single version since then broke API compatibility. So you have to recompile. So I ended up with one of my best contributions to open source software, something called LLVM CRAP, which stands for Compatibility Restoration Adaptive Protocol. And it's probably the most if-def heavy piece of code you've ever seen. But my objective remains to generate C-level code, and that requires a solid type system, which is my idea number three, that a type in Excel is based on the shape of trees. So for instance, the length would be the type of a number, which would be a real, followed by m for meters. If then else would be the type of if x then y else z. And that means a single value can belong to many types. For instance, if I have 42, which is the type of 42, if I have even, which is the type of x when x is even.
I think we should take questions.
Okay.
Not the next speaker
can come. Yep. So just one important thing is that I think this is the first type system that is Gödel complete. You can write a type that says belongs to the type if it does not belong to the type. And that's why you can't use some of the standard algorithms on it. Anyway, if you have questions.